Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHTK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
Leadership is influence. Am I right? I mean, but we all have to make the decision to lead because if we haven't decided to lead, you know, it doesn't work so well. So I suggest that we decide to lead, decide to follow, or get the heck out of the way. I mean, lead, follow, or shut the front door, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now. I'm here with Marcus Haney and Thompson Cisneros. How are you gentlemen doing this fine morning?
Fabulous. You kind of scared me there for
you
a
guys,
minute,
though. Fired up? You guys ready to talk entrepreneurship?
Absolutely.
Leadership? Winning? That's what this show is all about. Now, guys, you recognize a good leader when you see one, right? What do you look for when you see leadership?
Well, the guy I'm thinking of right now is wearing a Torque shirt, and it's draped in the American flag.
Oh, me? Thanks, Tom.
I don't know. I think to myself, when I think leader, my parents, naturally, in the beginning. But then, you know, as you grow up and you start working and you get out there in the business world, you're looking for the guy that's, like, in front of the group that's, you know, leading the charge, so to speak.
It's kind of obvious when he's out front.
Yeah,
you can see what he's doing.
The Pied Piper, but he's also the guy that's going to throw himself on the grenade.
Yeah.
You know, to save his buddies.
So, looking at leadership, Marcus, do you look at a guy's title? Is it how many stripes he's got on the side of his arm? Is that how you tell who's leading this thing?
Well, as a military...
You got your mic on? Oh, that a baby. Get that mic riled up.
I sure do.
You do?
Actually,
I can't hear you. Is it? There we go.
I don't know. As good as the...
Well, there we are. Coming
hey,
in.
You know what? Leadership, Marcus.
Yes,
who
well,
do you
in the military?
You,
you know, everybody has stripes and rockers and things like that. But I didn't always look at the people with the most stripes or rockers to take guidance from or emulate as a Marine. You know, I looked at the guy who was out there doing the best for the overall team and trying hard and being the guy who took leadership upon himself when nobody is looking.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
What is a rocker? For those that don't know what the significance of that is.
A rocker, when in the military, in the Marine Corps at least, it is a staff sergeant, gunnery sergeant, first sergeant, and you get, it's another insignia on your rank structure.
Okay, got it. I was picturing some guy, you know, with his hand out with really long hair and a guitar.
Yeah,
that happened often.
You do not need the rocker. You do not need the title to be the leader. And I was thinking about who I follow. I follow that journeyman catcher on the baseball field, right? The guy that knows where everybody's supposed to be on the field.
The
right?
Buster Posey.
The Buster Posey out hustles everybody. But then even in a tough situation, runners on, you got the pitcher a little rattled. He's the guy that can walk out to the mound and settle down Baumgartner or whoever it might be. I look for that guy. I look for the CEO or rock star entrepreneur that walks the walk. He may talk the talk, but he walks the walk. You know what I mean? And I follow the guy with no real title. I really do. I follow the guy that understands the mission, right? The guy that would take a bullet for his teammates. The guy that would do whatever it takes for the team. And you know what? I hope he'll follow me too, because he knows I would take a bullet for him as well.
He's usually the guy who's first there and last to leave. And
he sure is. And you know what? This show, it's about today's entrepreneurs, right? Real world entrepreneurs, not those phony fake entrepreneurs. We don't have phony fake entrepreneurs on this show. That's not what we're about. That's not what we do. Ain't no counterfeit coaches, right? on Entrepreneurs Unlimited. You know, they make it sound so easy. They can coach so well, but then when it comes to the game time, they really can't perform. Ain't no 26-year-old wannabe millionaires that, you know, kind of those jargon junkie guys, right? They talk about being an overnight zillionaire online. It's and they make it seem so easy. Ain't none of those guys on Entrepreneurs Unlimited. And there ain't no greenhorn lieutenant straight out of the academy barking out instructions to these battle-hardened soldiers. I wouldn't do that to you guys. I would not do that to you out there on Facebook Live. I would not do that to you, Sacramento. Only here we're going to have real-world entrepreneurs. And you see behind me, if you're on Facebook Live, but guys, I got a picture of Ronald Reagan behind me talking about authenticity in leadership. That picture hangs behind my desk in my office. It's a picture of Ronald Reagan in his earlier days when he's running for governor of California. And below his picture is a great quote that I just love. It says, "All great change in America begins at the dinner table." All great change in America begins in the at the dinner table, right? And it's those core values that we learn when we're younger, right? That's what's on, that's what makes us who we are. That's what, if you want to be inspired by something, you're inspired by what's on your core values, right? If it's in your heart, then that's something that we can all rally around. And, you know, I think some of the our values and our purpose in life, they are buried deep down in. But we're going to go beyond the dinner table today, and we're going to be talking leadership. We're going to go heart to heart with two men, two authentic leaders who are making a significant impact on our community and its future. Later in the show, we will meet the renowned David Townsend, entrepreneur, political consultant, and public affairs guru. But after the break, Willie Duncan will share his thoughts on our area's emerging entrepreneurial leadership. Willie is the visionary president of Sierra College. Join the conversation today, guys. Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology, America's leader in solar service. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Willie Duncan, the president of Sierra College. How you doing today, Willie?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here, Mark.
Thank you for coming in. I know you got big plans tonight, going to do a little Def Leppard concert.
Def Leppard, REO Speedwagon tonight, absolutely.
And you got the Entrepreneurs Unlimited show, too. This is a big, big day.
It's a great day for me.
All right, so share a little bit, if you don't mind, about the history of Sierra College and how now, with your leadership, you guys are embracing, you know, today's generation.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Sierra College has been around for a long time. We turned 80 years old this year.
Wow.
So a big celebration for us. But we've tried very hard to support entrepreneurship in the community, support young people as they're trying to create businesses. And, you know, we have a veteran center on our campus, and we're trying to support veterans who are trying to start small business.
Yeah, you guys do a lot for entrepreneurship. Now, thinking about that, you guys have the Hacker Lab affiliation. You guys did a lot to support the Hacker Lab. Can you tell us about that relationship?
Sure, yeah. We started a relationship with Hacker Lab. They were located in downtown Sacramento, but we were looking for a way that we could bring that entrepreneurship and that thought process up to Rockland. And when we set out, we asked Hacker Lab if they were interested, and they said absolutely. So we created a space together. We're partnering together. It's a public-private partnership. First one like it in the country, which is exciting. And they've created a maker space there. They've got co-working space. We run hundreds of classes literally out of that space. And it's kind of changing the way I think education interacts with the community.
Now, what is maker space and co-working space? What do they do there?
So a maker space essentially at its core is the ability to take equipment, which would be very expensive that people can't get access to normally themselves, things like 3D printers and lathe machines and large industrial sewing machines and computer software, and put them into a place where people can get access to them. They can come in and pay a small fee and use it.
And that really drives people to, I guess, think outside the box. I mean, so many of your students probably think, well, I'm going to get my degree, then I'm going to go to work for some corporation or the government or something like that. You're helping promote entrepreneurship. Why? Why entrepreneurship?
You know, it's amazing to me. I mean, I'm a firm believer that small business is what drives our local economy. I mean, large business is great and it's fantastic, but small businesses are the new businesses, the new ideas that are germinated. And you wouldn't believe how many of our students envision themselves as owning or running or being a part of a small business. So for me, we're giving them that opportunity. We're laying it out in front of them and educating them as to what it takes actually to start a business so they have realistic expectations.
Yeah. Giving them a chance to really chase their dreams, because in entrepreneurship, there's really no limits to your success level.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the sky's the limit, whatever you put into it, you know?
Now, you said something about veteran entrepreneurship, you know, with Marcus being on the show, he's a veteran. What are you guys doing for veterans?
So we have a vet center on our campus in which anytime a veteran wants to come to Sierra College, they can connect with other vets on campus. We provide services. We connect them with the VA. We do all those kinds of things. We also are the SBDC, Small Business Development Center, for the region for all veterans. So if you're a veteran and you either own or you want to own a small business, you can connect with us and we'll try to help you get to the resources that you need and the support you need to make that business successful.
That's incredible. And it's based right out of Rockland, but you've got offices around the Placer County area.
We do. All Placer County. We're also in Nevada County. And so we do have four locations in which we provide services.
You know, the show's topic today is about leadership, and your path to the presidency of Sierra College is probably atypical. Could you describe how you got from your start in education to where you are now?
Sure. I'm not the typical college president, so I wasn't a faculty member before. I actually went to college and got a business degree, and I wanted to go in business myself. And I actually fell in love with finance and got a master's in finance, and I was going to go to Wall Street and make my millions, you know. Somewhere along the way, I started working at the university that I was going to and working behind the scenes in the administrative offices. And I really fell in love with that work, and I decided, you know, I married my wife and we started a family, and I decided, you know, I really loved education, and I worked hard, worked my way up through the college, ended up at a community college, and before you know it, you know, 10, 15 years later, I was a college president.
But you guys, you came through the business ranks where a lot of people in your position as a president of a college maybe came up through the education piece and as a teacher?
Yeah, most do. Most college presidents were faculty members, and then they come up through the instructional side of a college. You know, I look at it with my job is to support what happens in the classroom and instruction. So, you know, I support our faculty members 100% with what they do, but I look at it really from a business perspective. And, you know, budgeting is one of my expertises, and, you know, making sure we have buildings and the right locations and that we're connected with the community in the right way. I have a passion about making sure that our community is involved with Sierra College and we're not insular and hidden away.
Do you think it's an advantage to have come up through with the business mind versus the education mind?
Yes.
Yeah, because
that's my background.
How many employees do you guys have?
We have about 1,200 employees.
Yeah, so we're talking about leadership on today's show, and so many times the great leader can really control the trajectory of the organization.
Yeah.
How would you describe your leadership style?
Well,
what kind of leader are you?
You know, you were talking about Ronald Reagan earlier, and one of the things I loved that Ronald Reagan said was you surround yourself, you know, when he walked into a room, Ronald Reagan wanted everybody in the room to be smarter than him.
Okay.
And you surround yourself with smart people and good people that work hard, and you can't help but be successful as a leader. So I feel like my job as a leader is to support the people around me, to get the right people in the right place, and to get the most out of that individual. So the job they're doing is the job they should be doing, and they know how to do that job, and they have all the resources they need to do it.
How would you contrast the education or the teachers at Sierra versus a typical JC?
You know, I don't know how different all of our staff are than every community college, but what I would say about the faculty and the staff at Sierra College, there is such a passion that exists there at Sierra College for what they do. I mean, they are so dedicated to their students, it's unbelievable. And I felt that the second I walked onto that campus. So the reputation that Sierra College has in the region is warranted. I mean, it really is, because you feel it when you go there, and I think our students feel it.
So many of our successful business people or successful people in other areas of life here in the Sacramento region have gone through Sierra College and kind of gained, kind of grown up a little bit there at Sierra.
Yeah.
And learned a lot. Now, Sierra also has athletics, and when you're in sports, especially at the college level, you're really developing your leadership chops. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about your athletic programs at Sierra.
Sure. We've got a full slate of athletic programs. We've got 18 sports, I think. We've been adding some, so my count might be off by one or two. But we've actually been investing in our athletics because we do really believe that athletics is you know, a component of an athletic program at a college campus teaches leadership. It teaches teamwork. It's got accountability built into it. And it demands success. And also the rules and regulations require a student to stay on task and on time with their education. So you look at all of those components, and to me, it's the perfect model for success at the college level.
I love it. And I'm an investor. I have a number of companies, and the leaders of each of my companies have an athletic background. They're rock star CEOs who learned how to lead, for the most part, on the athletic field, whether it be football, baseball, even gymnastics. It's a lot about learning at those young years.
I agree with that. You know, I played sports all growing up. I played every sport. I'm not an athlete. I'm not a professional athlete now, so obviously I wasn't good enough to make it that far. But you learn so much about teamwork, working with individuals, playing your role within an organization, and doing the best job you can do with that role. And I think those are just life lessons. Yeah. And so as a kid growing up playing sports, I really do think that's a big part of my leadership now, and the ability to do the job I do is being able to reflect back on those experiences.
I love that. And we're gonna bring on another guest here in a minute, and then we're gonna bring you back on, Willie, at the end. And we're gonna talk a little bit of philosophy and about leadership philosophy and what's going on in the Sacramento region. But when we return, we will meet David Townsend, entrepreneur, political consultant, and public affairs guru. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube. HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology, America's leader in solar service. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by David Townsend, entrepreneur, political consultant, and public affairs guru. How are you doing today, Dave?
I'm doing great.
David, excuse me.
David, thank you.
We don't want you. I know when you're in trouble as a kid, your mother called you Dave,
correct,
right? And so I will not use Dave unless I'm angry with you, okay? So
that's
I'll try
fair.
Not to let that happen.
That's fair.
Okay, so David, give us an overview of your organization. What's a political affairs consultant?
Basically, what we do is we work with businesses, we work with trade associations, and to help them navigate through the halls of government to achieve their objective, whether it be rezoning or land use issues. And what we also really like doing is we run political campaigns.
Now you guys have a pretty good win record. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've managed over 200 campaigns in California, and we've won 85% of those campaigns.
85? What, do you just take the ones that are a gimme? I mean, come on, that sounds like a very, very high percentage of wins. Now, do you not take it unless you think you can win?
Well, we generally try to determine whether or not there's a chance of winning. We don't take suicide missions. But no, a lot of times you take tough races, because the tough races are two things. It's one place where you make your reputation, and it's also the place where probably you're going to make the most money.
Yeah. And you know what? That is part of what it's all about. Why did you get into doing this? Was there something that drove you beyond the money?
Well, yeah, when I was always, as a young person, I was the kind of person that walked down the street and never think about walking on the grass. And if I saw a sign that said, keep off the grass, I'd jump on the grass and keep the sign.
So you were kind of an anti-authority guy.
Totally anti-authority.
Interesting. Guy. And now you're working to help drive regulation, which is authority. Now, you're a pro-business Democrat, right? So, and a lot of entrepreneurs think, well, shoot, I don't like regulation. I don't like all this authority. Now, you're taking the other side of some of those positions.
Well, I don't like regulation either. I mean, a pro-business Democrat says is that we want business to make as much money as they possibly can, and then we'll tax them to help poor people.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like regulation either.
Okay. Now, you are helping, you're working with Chuck Hitchcock to launch the Wilton Rancheria Entrepreneurial casino going on in Elk Grove. What are you doing to help those guys to launch their business?
Well, when the tribe came to us, what they really wanted was they wanted us to help develop how they message their project, how they outreach to the community, how they prepare themselves for the compact negotiations with the governor, how they move it through the legislature, because it requires the legislature to approve a compact. So we've been working with the tribe, and they're really an impressive group of people. I mean, Chucky is a very, very special person, the chairman of the tribe, and they're having great success. We are doing, they're doing very well. The community is overwhelmingly in support of the resort and casino. It's a really exciting time.
Yeah, because when you launch a casino, you're talking about a lot of jobs. You're talking a lot of economic activity. How do you think that's going to change the Elk Grove area?
Well, it's going to provide for high-paying, good-quality jobs. It's also going to provide for a lot of stuff for the community in terms of community. When a tribe gets involved in the business of being in a resort and casino, that throws off a lot of stuff for the community in terms of community benefit projects and money for law enforcement. It's quite a boon for a community.
You know, we've been talking about leadership, and you've got an organization that you founded, and you've got other guys that are helping you run the business. What do you look for in a great leader?
Generally, what I look for in a good leader is someone who's going to do the work.
Ah, yeah.
You know, I mean...
not afraid to roll up their sleeves.
Not afraid to roll up their sleeves and get in and do the job. When I run a political campaign, I pull together, very, very good people with their own expertise. But, I don't hire somebody that then they send in their 22-year-old account exec. The people at the table all have, the equal say... But, they have to roll up their sleeves and do their job.
Yeah, no question. Now, talking politics a little bit, it's an election year. We got 45 days coming up to the presidential election, and you've done a lot of political advising and campaigns and that kind of thing. What do you see as likely for the next 45 days?
Well, for me, I'm running Prop 52, which is on the statewide ballot. That's to protect Medi-Cal for Californians. A third of Californians are on Medi-Cal. Two-thirds of all children in California are on Medi-Cal. So it's a very important message and a measure. It's unopposed, but it's complicated. And I've also been recently brought in to run the Measure B campaign here in the transportation measure in Sacramento County. So we're trying to pull...
Is that a sales tax kind of thing?
That is a sales tax. I ran the previous one, Measure A, a few years ago. So we're trying to pull that together. As for the country, we have a very, weird, ugly, horrible presidential race. I can't even watch the news anymore.
Yeah.
And I like to watch news because I like to watch my own commercials. But
with 45 days away, there's a debate Monday, and this is not a political show, so this is kind of a unique one-off, but we're talking about your business, and it's interesting. Trump is, he's been very controversial. You expect to see him come out throwing flamethrowers?
No, I think that he will try to act presidential. I mean, it'll be hard for him, but he'll try to act presidential. I always, when I prepare people for debates, I always tell them, the last thing I say to them before they go on stage is I say, Richard Nixon said it best. Richard Nixon said, I won the arguments, Kennedy won the audience.
Yeah.
It's not about winning arguments. It's about convincing the American people that you're the person that they want.
Right. And then these two both seem to have the cards stacked against them a little bit in getting in the likability factor. I mean, some people love Trump, and I know some people love Hillary, but a lot of people don't like either one. I hear people say, hey, what would I rather have, crooked or crazy? I mean, what's that say about the state of the country?
Yeah, it's not good, and it's a lot because of the 24-hour news cycle and the fragmentation of people now only listen to the TV or radio that agrees with them. So we're not getting really sort of really open dialogue anymore, and that's not good for the country.
Well, even thinking about what some of the things that are going on right here in Sacramento, we've got local politics like Kevin Johnson is going to be stepping down, but you've helped Kevin Johnson.
Yeah,
right?
I ran both of his campaigns.
And that turned out pretty well.
Turned out pretty good.
What was the key to Kevin Johnson winning?
The key to Kevin Johnson was, basically Sacramento's divided into two really, almost literally by age, camps. The, the under 50 folks want change, they want to grow, they want excitement, they want to be entrepreneurs, and the over 50 They like things the way they were. They don't like all this change. And fortunately for us, there were more of our kind of people who wanted to see change and growth. And so they believed in Kevin. And Kevin's really done a remarkable job.
Well, as a Kings fan and a business guy that loves, you know, to grow businesses, keeping the Kings here has been such a huge thing for entrepreneurship. And it's really driving a lot of interest and investment right here in our region.
Yeah, people are not going to recognize downtown Sacramento in 5 years. It's going to be really exciting, and it's going to be, you know, it's great for everything. I'm the president of the Crocker Art Museum. It's really good for the art museum to have all that synergy downtown, and so it's going to really be something really special.
How would you contrast Steinberg with Johnson?
Well, I'm also close to Daryl, involved in his campaign, and I see Daryl just continuing on with what Kevin started. You know, Daryl is the kind of guy. Daryl is more of a mediator. He's more of a let's work together, let's pull people together, and that's what we need to do now to take the next step into the next 8 years.
You and I talked a little bit about what you do for the community. I know you're on the board of Crocker, but you also said that you and Frank Ramos started the Make-A-Wish Foundation here in Sacramento, and that's changed. That's helped so many people.
Yeah, well, Frank and a couple of other guys, and they came to me, and Frank came to me and said, hey, look, you know, we need some help getting the word out, ergo public affairs. And so I said, okay, I'm in. And so I was with Make-A-Wish on the board for 10 years with Frank and others. And now it was small. Now it's a really impressive, really, really great operation. They've helped a lot of kids. I think they told me they're into the thousands of wishes that they've taken.
Wow. What an investment. And you were there at the beginning, and they do so many things for people that are kind of at that last amount of hope left. So very cool that you do that. Well, we're going to bring you back on in a minute. We're going to bring Willie Duncan back on, and we're going to talk a little bit about philosophy and maybe some of the different ways that we view young people in our region and the way that they're being raised in today's society. When we come back, we'll bring back Willie Duncan, and we're going to have a little roundtable conversation. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology, America's leader in solar service. I'm Mark Haney, and we will continue our conversation with two very wise and respected leaders, Mr. Willie Duncan and Mr. David Townsend. How you guys doing?
Good.
Excellent.
Good. Been a good conversation so far. We're talking about leadership and what you look for in a leader. And at the beginning of the show, we kind of threw out the question, what do you look for in leaders? And David, I'll throw that over to you. What do you look for in leadership?
Well, again, I look for people that are willing to do the work. You know, a leader is someone who leads by example, not by talking about it. So that's really what I look for.
Yeah. And at Sierra College, you're leading leaders, right? So your teachers are leaders. How do you screen for leadership quality within the educators?
Sure. Well, you're right. Our faculty are leaders. They're leaders of students and the folks that they teach. And so we definitely look for that when we, when we interview people. You have to be able to teach. You have to have a passion for that. You have to want to connect with your students and understand your students and meet your students where they are. And so oftentimes people come with the book knowledge, but they can't teach. They can't lead.
Right,
so we look for that.
And we were talking about sports a little bit earlier on, and I know you're recording, David, you're recording the Wisconsin game because there's a kicker from Sacramento that is playing for Wisconsin, so you're recording that. Now, you also have a background in sports. You've done a lot to help sports in the area.
Well, I mean, I've worked, you know, way back when with Greg Van Dusen and Greg Luckenbill and
trying to recruit a team to get here.
Well, they'd already done that part. I tried to help them keep it here, and then was involved, you know, behind the scenes with the mayor in terms of some of the efforts around the issues with the Maloofs and the Kings and Anaheim and Seattle and the whole Mishigash.
How do you think athletics helps young people?
Well, you know, I played sports all my way up through, and I think the whole idea of being able to walk into a locker room and have people that have got your back, teaches you a whole lot about teamwork. And I think that teamwork is where leadership evolves from, you know, and if you can, you know, if you can be there and you can be, you know, that the other people on the team can depend on you to do your job, right? That's a big step towards everybody being successful. And when everybody's successful, that's when then leadership is everywhere. You're a leader in your own position as well as the next guy.
I've always thought that it was great because it builds character. You know, when you have to persevere, it's not easy, especially if you have a tough coach or a situation where things didn't come so easy. Those are the opportunities that really shape you to be an entrepreneur. They shape you to be a leader in your later years. But things are changing now, aren't they? I mean, don't you feel like society is changing a little bit with today's young people? Or is it, you think those values are still being, I just think of political correctness is, you know, you got a ninth place ribbon, everybody wins and everything. So the outcomes are tried, they're equalized in some cases.
Sure. I know. I think you're right. You know, to me, sports teaches you humility also, too. I mean, that's just such an important thing for people to learn. You know, especially if you're part of a team, you know, it's not the I. It's about the team and everybody playing their role and doing their part. You know, I see amazing things in our young people. I'm not one that is down on our young people today because I see them every day. You know, they're on the college campus and I see them working hard and trying to do fantastic things for their lives. They may have challenges maybe that prior generations didn't face. Our world is a different place than it used to be when I grew up or when you grew up. But I don't think we've lost our generation. I think our generation is very talented, very smart, and really wants to succeed.
Now, David, you think you hear people saying, "Oh, I'm offended." People are offended by everything these days. You know, it's like, "Oh, I'm offended." Every time somebody says something that somebody else doesn't agree with, you see it in politics all the time. "Oh, I'm offended. You can't do that to me." How do you address that issue?
Well, it's hard for me because I lived in Brooklyn for a long time, and in Brooklyn, we get out of the street and look
at
we offend people just for sport. So yeah. I'm not very politically correct. So I'm the wrong guy to ask. You know, and on the thing about kids and in competition, both of my daughters are champion hunter jumper riders. And ever since they were little, I would say to them, it's not about the ribbons. It's about going in and having fun. Because if you go in and have fun, you're going to get the ribbons. Yeah. So sometimes people get it backwards. You know, go enjoy what you're doing and let it evolve as opposed to like going out there to win as opposed to going out there to be the best.
Is winning okay still, though?
I mean,
what do you think?
Of course.
It's still okay.
If I don't win, I don't get a job.
That's right. That's right. Now, how is social media seems to be making things happen a lot quicker? Information gets spread so much faster. Now, David, how does that, you're influencing a lot of people. How do you use social media?
Social media in the political world is not where it is in the business world. We're still a little, you know, because first of all, remember, the average age of the voter in this election is going to be 60. So, you know, there aren't a lot of social media people at 60, other than the parents trying to spy on their kids. And so in politics, it really isn't where it is in the rest of the world. We'll get there, but right now it's not as much. And so in a campaign, probably 10% of our budget goes to social media.
You just look at so many young people, Willie. They're got their phone in their hand all the time. And how do you think that affects their ability to relate face to face, which is still so important? You can't communicate solely by phone, by email, by social media.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think there are a number of people that are challenged to relate. You know, when they're sitting across from a person, and it's because of our reliance upon our gadgets and our technology. I can tell you our students, the vast majority of them access they do their research, they access their books on their phone. I mean, that's how they're accessing education. And as far as social media goes, our students, we know they don't read email. I mean, about only, if we send a mass email out, about 15 to 20% will actually even open it. So they're communicating. I mean, if I could text every one of our students, that's how I would communicate with them for sure.
Yeah, text. Now let's talk about, we only have a couple minutes left, but thinking about our region and what's the changes that are happening. Obviously, Sierra College and what's going on, the work you're doing there is driving change in the region. You're driving change in the political front, David. Just some thoughts. Do we need more colleges in the area, or do we need less?
Well,
I mean, I would not say less.
Well, he's the education guy,
but he'd be the competition.
But I'll tell you, you know, I think that the more education we have, it's always better. And if we have more colleges, same thing in any other business, more competition, you bring more talent. You know, it's like car dealers are highly competitive and they all want to be in auto malls. Why? Because if they're all there, everybody comes there, the competition's better. It's the synergy of having more, I think, is good. But I'm saying that as a complete ignoramus. And
well, you have some, there's going to be a new university built out in West Roseville, out down Baseline Road. How do you think that'll affect Sierra?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, since I've been here in the region about 5.5 years now, I have worked to try to expand higher education in the area. I don't look at it as competition for us. I believe exactly what David just said, which is that you have to build the whole playing field. You've got to bring in additional folks to partner together. I hope to transfer people to Warwick University someday when they build that university out there. And when Sac State builds their satellite campus out in West Roseville and Placer County too. I hope to transfer students there and to partner with that group. So to me, growing the economy, growing the number of options that our students have, we don't have enough higher ed options in this area. Our students have to leave the area many times in order to complete their education, and we lose them. It's a brain drain. We've got to keep them here.
Yeah, no question. And I see this from an entrepreneurial standpoint. The investment dollars are beginning to be deployed right here in the Sacramento region, and it's because of UC Davis, it's because of Sac State, it's because of Sierra College. They want an educated workforce that brings the money. So along with keeping the Kings here, along with some of the other great things that are happening here, the education is a big piece of why we're going to succeed here in this region. And that's what this show is about. I grew up here in Roseville in the Sacramento area. This is my hometown. So I've lived here a little bit longer than you, David. You could have came in the 70s, right? And you've only been here about five years.
About 5 years,
really?
Yeah.
But this is our hometown. We want to make it something special. It's in the process of changing for the better. I love your guys' optimism because I share that optimism. And I just want to thank you guys for coming on the show today. I think it's a different kind of Entrepreneurs Unlimited show, but it was great. You guys brought a lot of value and a lot of unique perspective to the show. So I appreciate you guys coming on. I also want to give a little shout out to my friends at Five Star Bank. I got the mug here, the Five Star mug. Five Star is a sponsor. Five Star is the entrepreneur's bank. James Beckwith, the president, you guys both know him. We do all our banking there. And you know what? They know what entrepreneurs need in banking, right? They will customize solutions so that it allows guys like me and other entrepreneurs to really grow their business. And so I appreciate you, Five Star. I also want to give a personal endorsement to Rockland of Audi. They just opened up right across the street from our office. Rockland of Audi is a great place to buy a vehicle. They have offices in the Bay Area. I bought a number of cars from these guys. The owners are personal friends of mine. But Luke Smith, who's the GM of Rockland Audi, he's right across the street. So here's the deal. I need to sell some Audi cars. They're sponsoring the show. I'm right across the street. You come by. We meet in my office. I have a cold Bud Light, and we walk across the street. I get you a great deal on an Audi. Okay, come see me. I will take care of you. I will hook you up with Luke Smith. And next week, we will be joined by Jeff Rogers of Big Green IT and Stu Nelson of Bare Bones Workwear. When I return, I will share some closing thoughts about leadership. We will contemplate my assertion that you do not need a title to be a leader. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Leadership is influence. I think we heard that today a lot. We talked to a couple of very wise men about leadership. People influence us with their words, but more often they influence us with their actions, don't they? I mean, these guys today talked about actions that really influence them, and they like to be led by guys that roll up their sleeves and get things done. And I'll just tell you a quick story about two men that influenced me. My wife and I, we went to San Diego over the last couple of days. You guys know that.
Happy birthday, Stacy.
Yes, absolutely. Happy birthday, Mom.
Turned 51, and she was doing 50. You know, she had the 50 things that she was going to do in this year, 50 bucket list items. So we ended up going down there and hanging out. And one of the things we saw was the Giants playing the Padres. And I'm sitting there with my buddy Tom Kandris, owner of Package One, and I was reminded of the last time I was there at Petco, and I was reminded of the last time I was at Petco, and I got to go down on the field with my son. And so thinking about action, so I'm sitting there with Tom, we got the wives there, we've done all kinds of fun stuff, and we're just kind of reminiscing about, you know, our friendship. And as I looked down on the field, it reminded me of the action Tom Kandris took with our other buddy, Jay Stein. They took action and got us some field passes, and so we got to go down about four or five years ago and go down on the field. And I kind of got a little bit of that sentimental feeling because those guys, Jay's one of the owners of, was one of the owners of the Padres, and they got us hooked up on this special tour for wounded veterans. And Marcus had just gotten shot in Afghanistan. And I sat there thinking about what these guys did and what that did for Marcus and me at a time when, you know, the guy had just been shot in Afghanistan. And we got to go hang out with Bud Black, the, you know, the coach of the manager of the Padres, and just got treated to this special opportunity. And that was an action that Tom and Jay took to help me and my son. But I think beyond the action, it was the cause, right? It was the cause. It was there's a purpose behind that and behind that action, and it was a cause. And it was the cause of taking care of a wounded vet, something that meant a lot to them, something that had meant a lot to them because of their upbringing and the way that they were raised and what was on their heart. So today we've been talking about leadership, and so often we're leading based upon what's in our heart, and we follow based upon what's in our heart. I'm back here with Marcus Haney, Tom Cisneros, talking leadership and actions do so much. Words do a lot. They can. Actions do more. But when there's a purpose behind it, isn't it even more impactful, gentlemen?
No doubt. Thanks for the nice story there, Dad. But yeah, absolutely. I have to say thank you to both of those gentlemen for providing us that opportunity to go down on the field at Petco Park. But don't you always look at those top leaders by what they do versus what they say?
Yeah, it's the action, isn't it, Tom?
Well, they lead by example. I mean, you do the same thing. Todd Flowers, I'm thinking of off the top of my head, one of your business partners and the president of SSI, the company that I handle marketing and vendor relations for. I mean, that dude shows up early, leaves late. He's got his head in the trenches. And, you know, quite frankly, he's got his office. Never see him in his office.
Yeah.
He's out on the floor with everybody else. He's leading by
example. And his purpose is about his family.
Yeah,
he loves his family. He's a family man. He's got to build a business for the betterment of his family. Well, there's a transcendent cause that affects his decision-making, which affects his leadership, right? It's a transcendent cause. And I think those causes that are bigger than any of us individually, right, they mean so much more, and we learn those when we're young. We had talked about Ronald Reagan, and all great change in America begins at the dinner table. It begins with what's on the hard drive, what's in your heart. And, you know, that brings me to, I want to mention Allegiant Giving and my Allegiant Giving partners, right? There's a group of us business guys that have gotten together to try to help our community, right? It's about entrepreneurship. It's about young people and athletics, which we talked about a lot on the show. And it's about veterans. And these guys come back from war and they're changed, right? They've got PTS. A lot of these guys have been blown up bad. And, you know, we buy these action track chairs for them, right? These wheelchairs that have tank tracks, you know, underneath them. And they really change the lives of these young men that come back from war after sacrificing for us. And the Allegiant Giving Partners is a cause. We got an event coming up. It's called Taste for a Cause, right? And it's this transcendent cause. It's bigger than any one of us alone. It's for our community, right? It's for the young men in our community that have been affected by war. And it helps our community, but isn't it just the right thing to do by our principals for our country? It's October 1. It's at my office, Allegiant Giving Center, Granite Drive, right across the street from Rockland Audi. And it really is going to be fun. We're going to have great food. We're going to have beer. wine, whiskey.
Whoop.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. And we're gonna be raising money for Action Shack wheelchairs. And you know, it made me think of we got Ronald Reagan back there, and I heard Ronald Reagan on a video recently, and he was talking about thinking about a cause bigger than of ourselves. And have you ever been to Arlington Cemetery? Arlington Cemetery, there's these white markers. They're very simple, and they've got, and it all looks the same across this these rolling hills of green. And there's crosses on these monuments and stars, and the names of the men who fought around the world for our freedom. And Ronald, there's a story about this guy named Private Martin Treptow. And Martin Treptow was a private, and he died doing his job overseas. He was a communications guy, and he died overseas back in 1917 in France. And when the story goes, he died, and then he had this diary on him, right? And it said this in the diary: America must win this war. I will treat my job as if the outcome of the entire war rests upon my shoulders. Upon my shoulders. And I just kind of think, what if? What if I work my mission like that, like Martin Treptow worked his? Like I was the difference. Like the outcome of my business, of my cause in life, my family, my community, my friends. What if I worked it like I was the difference and that everything was resting upon my shoulders? And what if we all did that? And we all did that with here in Sacramento, right? The words of guys like Ronald Reagan, they move us. The actions of Martin Treptow demonstrate selfless courage, and they move us. But it's the purpose of that transit, that cause that's bigger than any of us. That's what I am led by. Though the guys that think that way share the same core values that I do, I will follow those men. I will follow those people. Do I really need a title to be a leader? Never above you. Never below you.
Always by your side.